You have your Bibles tonight. Let's turn to the Gospel of John and chapter 1. We want to continue our study through John's Gospel. Last time in our study together, you remember we mentioned how that John the Baptist had fulfilled his God-given purpose when he declared two wonderful truths. You remember we saw how that he had declared, first of all, the work of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 29, John the Baptist declared that Jesus Christ was the Lamb of God who had come to take away the sin of the world. And so he declared the great work of the Lord Jesus. But not only did he declare his great work, he also declared the deity of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 1 and verse 34, John the Baptist declared concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the Son of God. So he declared the work of the Lord Jesus. He declared the deity of the Lord Jesus. And as a result of that, you remember we saw last time that the next day, we saw how that he was standing with two of his disciples, and once again the Lord Jesus came by. And as they were standing there together, and as the Lord Jesus is coming by, we saw three things. We saw, first of all, the command. How that John the Baptist told his two disciples, said, you guys need to follow him. You need to follow him. And then there was the communication. As those disciples followed after the Lord Jesus, they entered into a conversation with him. And as the result of that, they actually ended up spending the day with him. And what wonderful things it must have been that they learned as they communicated with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we saw the consequence of all of that. And the consequence of it was that Andrew went and got his brother, Simon Peter, and brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. And John went and got his brother, James, and brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, now that brings us to the text where we want to begin this evening, verse number 43. The Bible says, the day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee. So after these four disciples have joined with him, now the very next day, the Lord Jesus determines that he's going to leave Bethabara with his four disciples. He's going to travel north. He's going to go up the Jordan Valley toward the region of Galilee, and to the town of Bethsaida, which was located there on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. And you'll remember the Lord Jesus had said concerning his mission in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so it's interesting to notice that that's exactly what he did. As they traveled along together, the Bible says in John 1:43 that the Lord Jesus findeth Philip. The Lord Jesus findeth Philip. Now, we do not really know much about Philip, but what little we do know about him comes mostly from John's gospel. Like Andrew and Peter, like John and James, Philip was also from the town of Bethsaida. John chapter 1, verse 44 tells us that. And from the close union that is seen between Andrew and Philip, you can see that in John 6, verse 7 and 8, and also in John chapter 12, verse number 22. It seems to suggest that these two had actually known each other before they had become disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, some have speculated that all of these men may have been in business together before as fishermen, and that being from the same place, that it was very likely that they had attended the same Jewish synagogue. However, even though the Bible is silent about the details of exactly how all of this came together and how it all took place, the Bible does tell us this in verse number 43, that the day following, Jesus findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. And then Philip, without making any excuses, without asking any questions, without creating any delays, immediately determined that he would accept the invitation, that he would become a follower, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this leads me to believe that it's very possible that Philip had also been a disciple of John the Baptist. But be that as it may, just like Andrew and John, as soon as Philip made his choice to follow Christ, he had a desire to share what he had found in the Lord Jesus with somebody else. He wanted to share what he had found with his friend. And so therefore the Bible tells us in verse 45 that Philip findeth Nathanael. By the way, this was not an accidental thing. It's interesting to notice that the word used here is actually the same word we saw before in chapter 1, verse 43. In other words, Philip went searching for Nathanael until he found him in the very same way that the Lord Jesus had searched for Philip until he found him. Bottom line, Philip went searching until he found his friend. And then we're told three things about the man named Nathanael. Notice with me for the next few minutes. Notice with me, first of all, his introduction to the Christ. His introduction to the Christ. The Bible says in verse 45 that Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, "We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write." Now you remember the Lord Jesus told the religious leaders later on in John chapter 5, verse 39. He told them to search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me. Of course, the term there, search the Scriptures, is a reference to the Old Testament writings. That's why when he met those disciples also on the road to Emmaus after his resurrection from the dead, the Bible says in Luke 24:27 that beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the Scriptures the things concerning himself. The bottom line is simply this. All of the Old Testament is a story. It's a string of promises that points to the Messiah, that points to the Christ. And therefore, Philip was well aware of the fact that just as he had studied the Scriptures concerning the coming of the Messiah, he also knew that Nathanael was also well versed in those Scriptures. He understood that Nathanael knew that the Messiah would come from the royal line of David. He knew that the Messiah would be born of a virgin, that he would be born in the city of Bethlehem, that he would be a sojourner for a period of time in the land of Egypt, and that he would then eventually dwell in the northern part of Israel. We can only imagine then how that Nathanael might have responded when his good friend Philip came and announced to him and said, "Hey, Nathanael, the one that we've been studying about, the one that we've been looking for, the one that we have been anticipating to come, I want you to know, Nathanael, we have found him. We found him." And then Philip told Nathanael exactly who their long-awaited Messiah really was. Philip mentioned two things. First of all, he mentions the residence of Jesus. In John chapter 1, verse 45, notice that Philip said, "We have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write." And here's who he is. He is Jesus of Nazareth. Certainly, Nathanael was well acquainted with Nazareth. The Bible tells us that Nathanael was actually from Cana of Galilee in John chapter 21 and verse number 2. And Cana of Galilee was actually less than 5 miles, or it was less than 8 kilometers from Nazareth. And so certainly Nathanael was acquainted with Nazareth. And being in such a close proximity to that place, it's very possible that Nathanael may have even heard of the Lord Jesus before and had known something of, letter B, the family of Jesus. You remember when the Lord Jesus came to his home area and the people were so amazed at his teachings. And the reason they were so amazed is because they knew him. He had grown up in their area. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 13, verse 53 to 55. And because he had grown up in their area, they knew him. They recognized him. They understood this is the carpenter's son. And that's the thing that Philip mentions in his testimony. Notice it again, John 1:45, we have found him of whom Moses and the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth. And by the way, there may have been other people named Jesus who lived in the city of Nazareth. So let me narrow it down and tell you that the Jesus I'm talking about is the son of Joseph, who of course was known as the carpenter. But Nathanael has a question concerning Philip's testimony. Notice it in verse number 46. Nathanael saith unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Now, many commentators have presented Nazareth as an insignificant village tucked away in the countryside of Galilee. But while it may be true that Nazareth may have been small and insignificant, it was not a village. It was not a village. You see, the same Greek word that is used to speak of the city of Jerusalem, Matthew 21, verse 10. The same Greek word that is used to speak of the city of Bethlehem in Luke chapter 2, verse 4. That same Greek word is also used in Luke 1:26 and in Luke 2:39 to speak of the city of Nazareth. Now, you need to remember that the designation city back in those days, that designation was not determined by the size of the population as we do today. Rather, that designation was determined by the existence of a wall. Villages did not have a wall to protect them when enemies came and invaded their area. But all cities would have the protection of a wall. But even though this city of Nazareth had a wall, it was not a place of great importance. It was not a place of great significance. In fact, let me just remind you that in those days, the people of Judah, the southern part of Israel, they considered themselves to be superior Jews because their national capital was in their area. Not only that, the temple of God was in their area. And so therefore, these Jews from Judah, they had a strong hatred for the Samaritans. The Samaritans were considered to be less than Jewish. They were considered to be mixed bloods. They were considered to be half-breeds, not worthy of the name Jewish. And so they were despised. But the Galileans, even though they were not hated, they were slighted. Because these Jews from Judah looked at the Galileans and considered them to be, as we find in Acts chapter 4 and verse number 13, they were considered to be ignorant and unlearned people. Ignorant and unlearned. That's why on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 7 and 8, on the day of Pentecost, the great question that was being asked was simply this: how is it that these men, being Galileans, how is it that these ignorant, unlearned people from Galilee are speaking in all these different languages the wonderful works of God? Now, even though the city of Nazareth had a wall, it was not a place of real importance, not a place of real significance. Therefore, even other Galileans sort of looked down on Nazareth. Therefore, Nathanael's question was, how could something so wonderful, how could something so glorious as our promised Messiah come from a backward, insignificant place like the city of Nazareth? How is that possible? But rather than getting into a long, drawn-out debate with his good friend, Philip actually, he gave the best testimony that any follower of Jesus Christ can give to someone else. And it's found in verse number 46. Philip saith unto him, come and see. Come and see. Which brings us then to point number two, which is his interest in the Christ, his interest in the Christ. As Philip is bringing his friend to meet the Lord Jesus, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 47, that Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him. In other words, the Lord Jesus, as he sees Nathanael coming, the Lord Jesus is going to say some things about him. He's going to say some things about Nathanael that is going to capture his attention and create in his heart an intense interest to know exactly who the Lord Jesus is. So we find that the Lord Jesus, as he spoke of Nathanael, a couple of things that he mentions. First of all, the Lord Jesus spoke, letter A, of his character. The psalmist said concerning the Lord God in Psalm 51 and verse 6, "Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward part." In other words, God desires men to have in their heart a sincere desire to know what is true and to know God's truth. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus saw in Nathanael. Notice it in verse number 47. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him and saith of him, "Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile." In other words, this is an Israelite, and in his heart there's no cunningness, there's no deceitfulness, there's no craftiness in him. Rather, this is a man who is sincerely desiring to know the truth. And Nathanael is amazed. He's amazed that this stranger, whom he'd never met before, they've never met before, he's never seen this man before, and yet this man knows his heart's desire. And so Nathanael asked the question, "Whence knowest thou me? How do you know what's in my heart?" And then Nathanael was even more amazed when the Lord spoke not only of his character, but he spoke of his activity. Notice it in verse 48. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee." I think that just that morning, now I might be wrong here, and if I am, when we get to heaven, I'll ask you to forgive me. I'll apologize. But in my own mind, I kind of think that that morning, Nathanael had seated himself in the shade of a fig tree. And there in the shade of that fig tree, Nathanael had been, he'd been meditating on the scriptures. He had been praying for the Lord God's direction in his own personal search for truth. And so the Lord Jesus says, "Nathanael, not only do I know your heart, but when you were sitting under that fig tree, I saw you there, and I knew what you were doing." And that brings us to number three, his inspiration by the Christ. We see this inspiration in two ways. We see it, first of all, in his confession. In John chapter 1 and verse 49, Nathanael answered and saith unto him, "Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel." Because of the things that he had heard, because of the things that the Lord Jesus had said to him, Nathanael confessed his belief in the Lord Jesus Christ in two ways. First of all, he confessed his belief in the deity of the Lord Jesus. Nathanael said, He is the Son of God. And not only did he confess his belief in the deity of the Lord Jesus, he confessed his belief in the destiny of the Lord Jesus. This is the King of the Jews. This is the one that is foretold who will sit upon the throne of David and rule from Jerusalem over all the nations of the world. This is he, the King of Israel. And so he made his confession. But not only do we see his confession, we also see his comprehension. His comprehension. John Phillips, in his commentary, made an interesting note. Here's what he said. He said, "Nathanael had made what modern physicists would call a quantum leap. In one burst of revelation, he had seen this man of Nazareth as God manifest in flesh. But as wonderful as that was, there were still some things about the Lord Jesus that were yet to be learned. Notice it in verse number 50. Jesus answered and said unto him, "Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these." And of course, the greater thing is that not only is he God, and not only is he the promised king, but the things that Nathanael is going to see is that the Lord Jesus is the Savior who is going to take away the sin of the world, and he is going to be the only way whereby men might enter into heaven. Now, the Lord Jesus illustrates that truth. He's going to illustrate these things that Nathanael, even though he doesn't fully understand it now, the Lord Jesus is going to illustrate these things that Nathanael is going to learn. And he's going to illustrate it by referring to the story of Jacob's vision of the ladder that reached from earth to heaven. You can find it in Genesis chapter 28, verse number 12. How that Jacob saw that ladder that reached from earth to heaven, and he saw the angels of God ascending and descending, going up and down on that ladder. Notice the application of it. In verse 51, he saith unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man." In other words, just as Jacob had seen that vision of a ladder that reached from the earth to the heaven, the Lord Jesus said that Nathanael would see the way to heaven opened up for all men through the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And he would also see that Jesus Christ is the ladder. He is the ladder by which men must enter into God's heaven. And so, as we come to the end of this first chapter, we find that the band of disciples has grown to six. There is Andrew, and there's Simon Peter, there's James, John, now there's Philip and Nathanael. But let me close with a question this evening. Let me make this more personal. Have you personally ever, like these men that we have just seen in our study together, have you ever personally trusted in Jesus Christ for the salvation of your eternal soul? Have you ever come to understand that he died for your sin and that he is the only way whereby you can enter into God's heaven? Have you ever put your faith and trust in him as your Savior? If you've never done that, please let me encourage you tonight. Would you consider that? Would you call upon him, ask him to come into your heart, to cleanse you of your sin and your rebellion against God, and to be the Savior of your soul? May God help that to be a reality in your life, even tonight. And if you have trusted in him as your Savior, are you truly a disciple? I mean, are you truly one who is daily learning of him and faithfully following him in the way that he would have you to go? If you're not doing that, I pray that tonight that might become the desire of your heart, that your first and your greatest priority would be to know him, to follow him as a true dedicated disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ.